opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
And once again, a pleasant good Tuesday morning to you. We are back, and of course, you can hear us this week. I will be on Thanksgiving Day as well. So if you have nothing to do in the morning, like you usually have in your cup of coffee or whatever it is that you listen to the show, under those pretenses, you're welcome to. And of course, the phone lines then will be open. We'll be taking calls on Thanksgiving Day at 208-216-6100. Something to keep us all busy as we talk about what we have to be thankful for. It's our annual ritual here. Oh, you gotta love it. Hey, speaking of something else you gotta love, don't you gotta love what's going on with Trump's cabinet and all these appointees? I mean, he's picking Dr. Dave Weldon to lead the CDC and Marty McCary, the FD. I mean, see, here's the thing. These guys, they're part of the system. They didn't like the lockdowns. They didn't like the jabs. But you see, part of the problem is the deep state's not going to let this go because Trump's not letting it go. He, you know, everybody is doing the flashback thing. Flashback to what Trump did with the jabs and Operation Warp Speed. It's like he's surrounding himself with people in warp speed. And of course, you know, without saying, Greg Reese has some other concerns. In addition to that, we're going to roll a clip for you here. Go right ahead.
The other concern I have is the bioweapon that was released on us, the vaccines. That needs to be communicated effectively in the new administration that something bad happened.
Many of us would like to see justice for the millions murdered by the nanotech-infected shots. But don't hold your breath. If approved, our next cabinet will include, as administrator for Medicare and Medicaid, Dr. Oz, a television personality who pushed implantable chips, transgenderism for kids, and pushed the deadly COVID vaccines repeatedly.
Should people have their children vaccinated?
Definitely yes.
Definitely yes.
Definitely yes.
As a doctor, even I'm in awe of the incredible advances made in search of a COVID-19 vaccine. Never in the history of mankind has a vaccine been developed at this speed. But just because we're moving fast doesn't mean we're moving unsafely. We're cutting red tape, not cutting corners. I trust the science and the scientists behind these COVID-19 vaccines, and you should too.
What can you do after you get the COVID vaccine?
If approved, Marco Rubio will be our new Secretary of State. He pushed the vaccine and boasted that Operation Warp Speed was a huge success.
Can say a lot of things about the way America responded to the pandemic in the early days. The one thing that's without dispute is that no one has done vaccines better than the United States. I mean, look around the world and look here. And look at the fact that right now, basically, if you're 12 years of age or older and you want a vaccine, you can get one.
If approved, Tulsi Gabbard will be the Director of National Intelligence. She helped get all the older people vaccinated early on.
3 weeks ago, I urged our leaders to put those over 65 years of age at the front of the line for vaccinations alongside healthcare workers and first responders. Now, today I'm happy to report that the Department of Health and Human Services has now agreed to this strategy. So if you or your loved ones are 65 or over, you will now be able to get the vaccine if the leaders of your state comply with these recommendations.
If approved, Dr. Jeanette Neshawat will be our new Surgeon General. She was also pushing the masks, the deadly vaccines, and the censorship.
First of all, vaccines save lives, and I am so excited, and I thank and I commend Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg for taking action, and I hope and pray that other social media platforms will follow suit and do the same thing.
If you are fully vaccinated, then it is safe to go outside, to go hiking, biking, to enjoy outdoor dining, to be around other people who are unvaccinated without a mask. Now, that is if you are fully vaccinated. It's also important that if you start your first dose, you get your second dose, because there's many who are not making the appointments for their second doses, and you will not get that 94-95% safety and efficacy if you don't get both doses.
You can go back to the very beginning of Operation Warp Speed. Trump's been pushing the vax the whole time. He even called himself the father of the vaccine.
And look, I guess in a certain way, I'm the father of the vaccine because I was the one that pushed it. I pushed the FDA like they have never been pushed before.
It shows you how unpainful that vaccine shot is. So everybody go get your shot. I recommend you take it.
People that do get it get better much quicker. That's a very important thing to know. They don't get nearly as sick, and they get better. Lindsey Graham's an example. He said, if I didn't have this vaccine, yes, I would have died.
I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines.
I think I saved many. I don't think. I know. I saved millions and millions of lives throughout the world.
We saved tens of millions of lives. Take credit. Don't let them take that away from you.
Okay. So the president made news.
Do you agree with that? Right.
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it too.
And just recently, on November 22nd, Trump wrote that Operation Warp Speed saved hundreds of millions of lives. There is no signs of justice for the millions murdered by the deadly shots. And if the nanotech in the shots is the interface between humans and AI world, then I would expect another fake pandemic and more shots.
Yep. And what do you think they're going to do? What do you think our government's going to do? And see, now you go back to the real Anthony Fauci and RFK Jr. I had him on my other show, which is no longer. And of course, RFK Jr., even though he's got onset Parkinson's, the circumstances are such that he knows better. Maybe Trump knows better, but you see how the media grabs on to all the past statements and then launches it against them after the fact. In other words, it's one of these warning signs like, Mr. Trump, you better be careful who you nominate to your cabinet because they may turn on you. They may apply you with lies like Fauci and Birx did. I mean, I buried friends of mine, I was there at their funeral when their woke families put them to rest, cremated, and of course, they were in denial. They got the jabs, they were in denial. And of course, Congress, you know, all these people out there, what do you think they know now that they didn't know then? That it isn't the science, that you can't trust the science. And anybody out there that says you can trust the science, they're lying to you. That's one of the reasons why I have a very difficult time personally. I'm talking from the heart now. I have a very hard time dealing with medical professionals. I just do. I know where I'm at. It is actually a felony to assault a healthcare worker. That includes the nurse at the front desk or whoever is taking your intake information, you know, that here, sign this clipboard, and you get mad and you take a poke at them, you can end up in jail. See how they're covering their butts and isolating themselves so that you can't hold them liable for stuff? This is one of the reasons why I'm having a hard time trusting any of them. So, you know, I do my ritual. I have my routine. You know, I take my Strauss Heart Drops. That's a shameless plug for a sponsor that, you know, I don't handle. But, you know, the herbs, the supplements, the homeopathics, you know, I'm healthy. I didn't take the jabs either. You know, most of my family didn't. My daughter, who's a nurse, didn't take them either. And she wouldn't give them to anybody. She just put her foot down and said, no, I don't trust the science here. And if you're going to force me to have to give the jabs, I'm going to go to work somewhere else. That's exactly what she did. She's not like these other employees that work at hospitals that just said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go ahead and take the jab so we can keep her job. Sad but true. And, you know, now we've got people suing because, and what, the lady just did, won 12 point something million dollars because she was fired for, putting forth a religious exemption to not have to take the jab. Now, I wonder how many of her friends who took it are dead now. I mean, what about all the millions of people that died? I mean, that's what Greg was talking about. And the fact is that if, in fact, the deep state wants to launch another pandemic and people start getting sick, and, of course, then the propaganda, you really got to be careful how you vet that. Seriously. You really got to be careful. Because they might be lying to you again. We will be back with some issues in business news, especially Macy's and The View and the Fed, and oh boy, just it gets better. Be back in a flash.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, back in the saddle here at 18 after the hour. A former official for the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond has pled guilty to insider trading after he was caught misappropriating confidential information and executed trades based on that info. Robert Brian Thompson, 43, of Moseley, worked as a bank examiner and senior manager with supervisory duties for the Federal Reserve, giving him access to confidential information about financial institutions under the Fed's supervision, including confidential supervisory information, which he used, according to the allegations, which he pled guilty to execute 69 trades in 7 different publicly traded financial institutions for a total of $771,678, right to the penny, from October 2020 through February of this year. To conceal the scheme, he lied on his Form D, which, among other things, requires employees to disclose if they have any assets, including equity interest in any banks that are members of the Fed. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what a web we weave. And you see, the thing is, you gotta love that, right? Gotta love the fact that it's not just Congress that's doing insider trading. It's people in the system that we were supposed to trust. Huh. Yeah, what system is that? Name me one. Brady, what system are we supposed to trust?
I don't know, but did you get your updated COVID shot, Dave?
Negatory, good buddy.
I got a big problem with that. I got a couple family members that aren't going to be attending Thanksgiving dinner this year because they're in the hospital.
Uh-oh.
So I haven't spoken to them in probably a year and a half because they were vax deniers, and up until this day, probably 90% of my family got the jab. And to this day, they all deny that all their ailments that they're suffering from are due to the jab. So we have a big problem. We have to overcome all the vax deniers. But what they're gunning for now is the new one is the bird flu. And that's what they're trying to push the next pandemic as the bird flu. Because when you turn on the radio in the morning, you see that the bird flu is now infecting the chickens and the cows. And
oh, we got turkeys now. 100,000 turkeys had to be put down because they had H5N1.
And you got to remember, who was the father of bird flu, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
This goes way back to 2005. A gentleman from Chicago was over in the Ukraine in 2005, and his name was Barack Obama.
Aha!
Isn't that kind of funny?
Yep. And well, no, it's not funny. It's serious because of the fact we know what they're trying to do because, you know, it's like Sarah said, how's that hopey-changey thing working for you?
You got to remember that he was only a junior senator from Chicago at that time. So why was that man in the Ukraine? And isn't it funny that Tulsi Gabbard is now going after all the bio labs that they've been denying for, what, 20 years almost now that are inside the Ukraine area?
Well, just remember, you know, I get it, Brady. And just remember, you know, there's going to be a lot of rope-a-dope going on out there that people have to be aware of. And I'm sorry that your family's not going to be joining you for Turkey Day. Of course, they could always listen to this show. They might get an education. And we certainly appreciate your call. Moving on to the rest of the news here. Macy's is in trouble. Kind of, sort of. they had a delay of their release of their third quarter earnings announced yesterday. They uncovered an employee in the accounting department intentionally hid, are you ready for this, between $132 million and $154 million in delivery expenses over several quarters from the fourth quarter of 2021 through the most recent fiscal quarter, according to what they said in a statement. And, of course, they didn't comment on whether the employee's conduct, even though he's not with them anymore, had been referred to law enforcement. The company emphasized the hidden expenses represented a small portion of the approximately $4.36 billion in delivery expenses recognized during the same period. Macy's, of course, reported weaker than expected preliminary sales. Ooh. You know, see, there's another problem we have. Because, see, all the merchants of the earth now are whining about how bad things are. Well, hey, I'm sorry, but it's not our fault. You can point a finger right at D.C. Macy's stock is down 19% this year, by the way, versus a 26% gain for the S&P 500. Macy's, Walmart, Amazon, Target, and countless of other retailers have stretched Black Friday into Black Fry month to squeeze the most out of cautious consumers. Quote the Raven, nevermore. Yep, the National Retail Foundation forecasts holiday sales will crack a new high of nearly $1 trillion. $1 trillion. Yeah, but that winter spending is going to grow at its slowest rate since 2018. What do you say to that? Yeah, you're really going to go out and be a part of that? I mean, their earnings picture at Macy's is bleak. I mean, you got to wonder about some of this stuff, right? In the meantime, since the holiday season is upon us, U.S. Marshals and the FBI are warning of nationwide phone scams, warning the public about widespread scams involving fraudsters who impersonate U.S. Marshals, court officers, or other government agents demanding money, or otherwise we're going to come and arrest you. Yep. These fraudulent callers claim the victim has committed an offense such as identity theft or failing to report for jury duty and, wow. Then, of course, they instruct victims to withdraw cash and transfer it to the government, purchase prepaid debit or gift cards, or deposit money into Bitcoin ATMs to satisfy these alleged fines. And these scammers sound real convincing by providing badge numbers, names of real law enforcement officers and federal judges, and even spoofing caller IDs to look like they're calling from a government agency or courthouse. You know, they're not going to do that. And, of course, now they also have the one that's kind of old, but there's a scam out there about your loved one just died or somebody close to you just died. And, see, they want to try to get information from you because the families, of course, there are people out there asking to have money donated so they can buy furniture for their apartment. I mean, there are all sorts of stuff going on. We don't know if it's legitimate or not. You know, if you communicate with these people on a regular basis, don't give in to these jokers. You need to actually say, hey, you know what? Kiss my you-know-what and hang up. I mean, see, here's the thing about cell phones, about landlines. You know, when the phone rings, what's your first reaction? Is it, let it go to voicemail? Oh, no, we paid for that. My God, I picked those drapes. Yeah, we paid for that. We're going to pick up that phone and answer it because we paid for that subscription to that phone service. And by God, I'm going to take every bit of advantage of it I can. You see, that's how we think. We've been programmed to think like that. Every time the bloody phone rings, we think we got to answer it. Oh, it says United States government on it. Oh, it must be important. Oh, maybe it's the IRS. Maybe I should run and hide in the closet. Oh, man. People, come on. You can't be stupid about this stuff. I mean, you don't want to be classified as somebody with the mentality of those that host The View, do you? By the way, speaking of The View, Piers Morgan's got an issue with him. He thinks that penning an op-ed Monday calling for ABC's pretentious daytime talk show to be canceled. Morgan admonished the show's homogeny, decrying the program as an endless cycle of snarling, whining, scowling, seething, and cursing about Donald Trump while criticizing each host for helping turn The View into an ideologically mindless cesspool. Every day, Piers Morgan wrote, is a relentless assault on viewers' eardrums from a bunch of partisan obsessives competing with each other over who detests Trump the most. They all despise the man who is going to be the president again. Yeah, tediously myopic, one-sided act just won't play out now that he's been given such a resounding endorsement from the American people. The View's hosts have repeatedly argued Trump's rise had nothing to do with policy and was instead the result of widespread bigotry from the same electorate that sent Barack Hussein Obama to the White House. They're wrong. See, here's the thing about it. The first time when they swore him in and he said Hussein, I almost vomited. Because I knew where this hopey changey thing was going, and I knew at that time, America, guess what? You have been fooled. No, I didn't say, welcome to The Price is Right. No. Now, you can't have what's behind door number three. You got to work for it. Now, here's something interesting because, you know, the people listening to the show, they get it. They know what's going on. You know, and people try to put us down just because we get around. People do seem awfully cold. And I hope I die before I get old. Recognize that? She makes you wonder. These musicians seem to be tuned in, don't they? Yeah, people are going, what song is that from? Yeah, no. My generation. Yep. You see, now all the boomers are getting to be our age, and half of them are dumbed down and woke, and the other half are, you know, thinking kind of like us. And they want to hear the truth. Everybody's got to get to the truth. You know, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about afterwards about a Supreme Court case. Well, actually, they turned that down, a case of a woman's home damaged in a SWAT raid. Yeah. So if the government, you know, kicks in your home in your front door and they trash the place, they don't have to pay for the damages. But I mean, if, you know, they condemn it through eminent domain or something else, and of course you'll get compensated, but oh no. No, if the SWAT team is in the process of hot pursuit and they kick in your front door looking for somebody, oh God forbid, you're stuck with the damage bill. We'll talk about that story out of Texas after we come back from the news break.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, consumers, listen up. 35 after the hour here. Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to take up the appeal of a Texas woman whose home was damaged during a SWAT raid. The decision came in the form of an unsigned order in Baker v. McKinney, Texas. The court did not explain the reasoning behind the order. Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Neil Gorsuch concurred with the dismissing of the petition, but they expressed sympathy for the homeowner's argument that government shouldn't be allowed to destroy private property without paying just compensation. If the local government had taken the home to construct a public park, the homeowner would undoubtedly be entitled to compensation. That's called eminent domain, folks, for those of you who don't know. But because the police, in this case, damaged the home to protect local residents and themselves from an armed and dangerous individual, the homeowner alone must bear the cost of that public benefit, Sotomayor wrote in a statement that Gorsuch joined. That is amazing how these justices think, huh? The Supreme Court has yet to squarely address whether the government can require some individuals to bear such a public burden. The case, do you see what I mean about the wheels of justice grind slowly, folks? Having my cup of coffee this morning here on the air with you. Back in 2020, that's how long it's taken, 4 years to get this far. Usually takes better than 3 years, and those of you who have been fighting foreclosures, we have people attend our class in Little Rock that have been fighting our foreclosures for like close to 17 years, and they're still fighting. They're still in foreclosure court. But this 2020 case involves this Texas lady, Vicki Baker, okay? Her home was raided by police who were chasing Wesley Little, a fugitive who had kidnapped a 15-year-old girl. Little avoided police during a high-speed chase and arrived at Baker's house with his hostage. Baker was preparing the house to be sold, according to the summary of the case in a court order. About Little, Wesley Little knew that the house was there and what she was doing with the house because he previously performed handyman work there. So police went right to the house. They found Little, and he eventually released a girl who told police that Little was armed, hiding in the attic, and intoxicated on meth. A shootout with Little ensued, with the police firing tear gas grenades into the house. Little failed to surrender, so police used explosives to take down the front and garage doors and used a tank-like vehicle to clear away the backyard fence. Upon entry, police discovered Little had killed himself. Baker sued, and a federal district court found in 2022 that the damage weighed in at about $50,000. Her dog, who was also in the house, was left permanently blind and deaf. Sorry, I don't think you can stick them with animal cruelty. Wrong place, wrong time, right? Baker's insurance company declined to cover the damage. Ah, see, there's some things that we got to talk about here. The city denied her claim for compensation. The district court found the damage caused by the city was considered a taking under the U.S. Constitution's Fifth Amendment. A jury awarded almost $60,000 in damages. Homeowners insurance policies generally do not provide coverage for damage caused by the government, the Supreme Court noted in its order. Did you hear what I just said? We talked about this before, folks. Just because you got homeowners insurance or hazard insurance, think about this. If you have a mortgage, you have an insurance policy that is supposed to protect the rights of the lender. That's what they tell you. You have to buy homeowners insurance, hazard insurance as part of the contract that gets you into this Article 1 administrative venue. See, Article 1 is all about contract law, folks. 110.1 of the Constitution. Go look it up. The obligation of a contract shall not be impaired. And if you sign a contract to get a mortgage, you have to provide homeowners insurance. But you see, if you read the fine print and the policy, the government, any intrusion, civil unrest, civil disorder, government comes to your home, kicks in your front door, you got to pay for all the damage because the government was involved. Whether it's hot pursuit or they come to your door like they did in Brian Malinowski's case and shoot you in the head. If they kicked in your front door, well, you got to buy a new front door. Huh. Amazing how that works, because the homeowner's insurance won't cover it, so it's all out of pocket. The U.S. Court of Appeals, by the way, for the Fifth Circuit reversed that ruling for the $60,000 in October of 23. The circuit court rejected the city's claim that the takings clause never requires compensation when a government agency destroys property pursuant to its police power. However, the court held the takings clause does not demand compensation for property damage when it was objectively necessary for officers to cause the damage in an emergency situation to stave off imminent harm to people, according to the summary. Because both parties agreed that McKinney Police's actions were objectively necessary, the Fifth Circuit concluded Baker was not entitled to compensation. Baker was represented by the Institute for Justice, a public interest law firm. Institute for Justice senior attorney Jeffrey Redburn said in a statement, the Supreme Court will eventually have to deal with the fact that lower courts of appeal and other lower courts are divided on the issue. That's what we call a circuit court split, folks. The Constitution makes it clear the government must compensate people for such takings, and your ability to receive such compensation shouldn't depend on where in the country you live. Baker also commented herself, I was hoping the Supreme Court would take up my case and whatever happened to me would never happen to anybody else. So it's disappointing they decided not to hear it. If police can destroy my home and leave me with the bill, it can happen to anybody. Wow, thank you, Vicky Baker. We appreciate that statement. I mean, if they kick in your front door with a search warrant and shoot you in the head, Vicky Baker, you're in the same boat Brian Malinowski is. He's dead and his wife is a widow. Doesn't matter whether you're sitting there fixing up your home or you live in a suburban Little Rock palace, 3,000 plus square feet. 6:02 in the morning, all of a sudden they kick your front door and you think it's a home invasion. Why? Because it usually happens at night. Well, this happened on Tuesday, March 19th, and Mr. Malinowski isn't around to tell anybody his story because he's dead. He thought it was a home invader, so he got his gun out. Well, see, Vicky Baker wasn't at home at the time that Wesley Little ran to her home. So I guess you gotta be careful with who does your handiwork. Huh. But see, going back to the situation I've talked about on the show before about your homeowner's insurance, you really need to read the fine print because there are exemptions or exceptions. Just like title insurance, there's exceptions there too. If it's not publicly recorded in the record, we can't cover it. So when you get a title insurance company that insures a property where you've got defects in the chain of title, that's a problem. Because at some point in time, they're going to look and go, oops, we made a mistake. We're not covering this. And then you have to sue the title insurance company. You see what a racket it is? Because the lenders require you to have title insurance to favor them so that if they securitize your mortgage and your whole loan falls apart, they can come in and say, well, the whole title screwed up. And the title insurance company will have to shell out the claim, face value of the mortgage less 27% commission and administrative fees. But they've already made money securitizing the paper and selling it over and over again on Wall Street. Wow. They've taken all your personal information, turned it into a bond. But then again, you know, the city and all their SWAT team can just, you see, sometimes it helps when you live in a gated community. You know what I mean? But see, in the event of a power outage, that's the last thing, the last place you want to be is in a gated community. Nah. Because see, your neighbors, if they're not prepared for a long-term power outage, they're going to come knocking on your door looking for food and water. And you've got a well. And you've got backup energy supply protected from EMP. And you're pumping water out of the ground. And they know you've got electricity because your lights are on and theirs aren't. Well, where do you think they're going to come? They're going to come to your front door. You don't have a way to protect yourself. And if you put up some sort of a fence with concertina wire in your front yard, that's definitely like, keep out. We have things of value. And that's even more of an attraction to thieves and hordes of gangs that are going to be roaming the countryside looking for food and water when 9 out of 10 people end up dead. Really, within a year. I mean, if the power goes out from an EMP attack, see, the administration still is not prepared for any of this, and neither are we the people. I would say less than 0.1% of Americans, that includes our listening base here, have any kind of reserve, anything to survive a crisis. I mean, we're talking water prep, we're talking food prep, we're talking energy production prep. That's what I'm talking about. Less than 0.1% of this country is actually somewhat prepared. If you disagree, phone lines are open, 208-216-6100. We'll be back after these short messages.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
Okay, we're back. One of my attendees from the Little Rock Boot Camp we just held on mortgage foreclosure defense just sent me an email, which I just looked up. Because I always try to verify what's going on. PHH Mortgage, anybody have them? How about Ocwen Loan Servicing? Anybody have them? Ocwen Financial Corporation? Well, they've now decided. PHH they bought Ocwen shortly after the Ocwen, the latter of the two, went out and got $600 million worth of securities to make themselves look good on paper so they could be subsumed by PHH Mortgage, which is now changing its name, along with Ocwen, to Onity Mortgage. O-N-I-T-Y. Is it Onity? Onity? On again, off again? Yeah. And, of course, they're calling themselves, we rebranded our parent company, Ocwen Financial Corporation, to Onity Group, Inc. on June 10th of this year. And, see, how many people know that? I mean, did they actually send you a letter? And you haven't called the show to let us know? the crooks of the industry, you know? I'm sorry, but, you know, there's plenty of this accusations to go around because Ocwen got themselves in a lot of trouble. And when we audited the land records and did a forensic examination of the records in Osceola County, Florida, back in 2013, and released the report in December 30th of that year, we discovered that Ocwen, in like, what, 69 different cases, had nefarious documents manufactured in their little plant there in West Palm Beach. It's amazing how it works. Yet robo-signing is not a crime. I know everybody talks about it. A lot of attorneys like to take credit for the term robo-signer. It basically means you got a bunch of people sitting around just signing documents willy-nilly. But see, that's not a crime, but forgery and perjury are. And see, everybody's trying to go after the notaries, but the notaries in most instances, if you ever notice how notary laws are changing, all they can do now is just attest to the fact that somebody signed the document and they said, this is who I am and I'm signing the document. Now, as far as capacity and authority goes, doesn't matter. How many people out there, raise your hand, go check your land records on a regular basis to make sure they're safe? How many? Raise your hand. Oh, maybe none of you. I can't see your hand. Oh, that's a sight gag. Sorry. Before we went to break, we were talking about the fact that less than one-tenth of 1% of Americans are actually prepared for a disaster, a calamity. 1/10 of 1%. So, you know, depending on, you know, the 220 million Americans who took the jab, now you got to look at the 220 million Americans that took the jab. How long are they going to be around? Especially if all of a sudden the grid goes down and their health just goes to hell in a handbasket. How many are going to be around then? Hard to say. But you remember that the kill switch, which these jabs are, that everybody said was safe and effective, I wonder how many of them are going to change their mind now. But you see, when you have a country that it's like, look, we have to vote for the lesser of two evils because we just cannot take another 4 years of this caca. I can't say the other word. Scheiße. That's German for it. I just, the FCC doesn't like it when you say nasty things on the radio, so we can't do that. But they don't want 4 more years of this garbage. They just don't. So they voted for the lesser of two evils. Yeah, they voted for a CEO who's a businessman that knows how to play the bankruptcy game. Yeah. They know how to restructure. They know how to reorganize. That's why they're billionaires. And we're all sitting here twiddling our thumbs, living from paycheck to paycheck. Huh. So, you know, it's amazing when you have the number of people out there that went out and took the jab. It is unfortunate. You know, 220 million people. It's amazing how that works. 220 million people. And now, out of those, they anticipate that 9 out of 10 people will be dead in a year. That's 198 million people that are going to die just because of an EMP attack and long-term no access to food, water, or electricity, which we're all dependent on. 198 million people out of the ones that got jabbed are probably going to get sick. They're either in the hospital. In the case of an EMP attack, you have 3,000 planes in the sky that are probably going to come down. The ones flying over America, they're going to crash, and one of them might hit your home. So, you know, people in the hospitals, if there's no emergency backup, they're going to die on the operating table or in their, you know, oxygen units or whatever the case may be. Anything that supplies electricity, if it's gone, it's gone. All those computer components are fried. How many people are actually prepared for that? Oh, no, 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 Dave, come on. You don't know what you're talking about. I know you had Senator Bob Hall from Texas on, and he's a conspiracy theorist. And yeah. See, you're not prepared in the least. I happen to know that the folks that run this show down in Florida there, they're prepared. They may only lose power for a day or two, but they're back up and running. But in an EMP attack, you know, the internet's going to go down. Your cell phones won't work. Then how are you supposed to communicate? If you have a ham radio that is protected from an EMP attack that's hardened, ham radio is about the only way I see right now, other than being able to protect your satellite dish so that whoever's broadcasting and connects to satellite can transmit information if they're lucky. That is how screwed this country will be, and there is nothing this government can do to save you. What do you think that the U.S. military is going to do? Because they basically are, they crawl on their stomach. You know, without food, those people are stuck. And the trucks and everything else, they're broken down on the side of the road. They don't work because their computer systems are fried. They can't get food to the military bases. So what do you think is going to happen? Let's do Little Mr. Rogers here. Hi there, boys and girls. Can you say desertion? Sure you can. And how many people, because see, guns don't need electricity to operate. They're weapons. They're M16s. How many are going to turn them on their fellow soldiers and their superiors when they're ordered to stay put? And it's like, the hell with you. Boom, boom, boom. End of superior. I mean, how's that going to work? I mean, we said 9 out of 10 people will be dead within a year. It doesn't mean that they're going to get sick. It doesn't mean that they're going to die of starvation. Of course, that is likely. But no, I mean, a lot of them might die because they're victims of gunshots. GSWs, as they say in the hospital. And you have no way to treat them because the hospitals are closed. They're fried too. Emergency rooms. This whole idea that the ER is going to be open when somebody comes in your house and kicks in your front door trying to take your weapons and your food and your water supply. This is what I mean. Less than 0.1% are remotely prepared for any of this. And see, the utility companies who are supposed to help us harden the grid are run by technocrats obsessed with control over energy. Because this is how they make money when you pay your energy bill. They want complete control of everything, except they are refusing to harden. Oh, they want to establish smart grid with Wi-Fi enabled smart meters on homes and businesses so they can drain every single dollar out of you while they still can. Because they know at some point in time, if we piss off enough of our enemies out there that they might just launch an EMP attack overhead, like Senator Bob Hall from Texas said, it's not a matter of if, but when. And politicians and the utility companies will have zero to do with it, to do with the restoration of the company, of the country. It won't happen. So all of these public utility commissions, right now they're out to grab every dollar they can, and depending on what part of the grid you live on, depends on how much you're going to pay. And they want to put all their money into wind and solar, thinking they're going to get a great rate of return. No. See, the only way I see solar working is if you can harden a grid and have solar on your own home to help with the electric supply. Otherwise, you've got emergency backup power with at least four solar panels. You have some way of keeping the refrigerator on. You got some way of cooking food. You've got it manual utensils there. You've got a way to get water out of the ground because, you know, what happens if you're on a well pump? Well, that's a 220. You got to run it somehow. If you don't have a manual hand pump and a shallow water with a way to filter the water, you're not going to have any water to drink. And when your neighbors find out you just put a well in and you got a hand pump outside, oh, they're going to be over there getting water. Hey, well, you know, maybe that would show you who is loyal to you because you were ready for the emergency and they weren't. But see, they know where to get water from. So they're either going to come over and be nicey nice and get water, or they're going to come over angry because their kids haven't eaten in 2 weeks and they're starving and they're bloated and they're going to die if they don't eat something. And they're going to, you know, try to take your food by force. This is how people behave, folks. And our electric utilities, they don't care about anybody but themselves. So I guess we need to start caring about each other in our communities, don't we? Well, there's the music. That means we're out of time for today, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. In the meantime, just remember to be kind to people. We need to get out there and start having a dialogue with people and start talking to people and acting like human beings again and not let this COVID nonsense get under our skin anymore. Like I said, we'll be back on Thanksgiving Day. We'll be here tomorrow and then Thursday and Friday. So, you know, have a good week. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.